Well, since Paul asked me to do this, I thought, well, maybe I'd just leave it long enough not to do it. And then I thought, well, there's a few things that are on my heart, and I went through a few of them before I got to this one. So we're going to talk about faith. And what it is, and how we use it, and why we need it. And faith in the Word, in Hebrews 11 and 1, says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now, how many of us have faith? A show of hands? Who of us have faith here? The Word says that we have all been given a measure of faith. And it doesn't say, well, Dennis got so much faith that two of the others here didn't get enough faith. Okay, the faith that we have is enough for us, for each one of us. It's the same measure of faith offered to each one of us. How many of us walk in that faith? There's faith, I think, and then there's faith. Every day when we get out of bed, we have faith that when we roll out of bed and put our feet on the floor that we're going to stand up. We got faith that the next step I take, I'm not going to fall on my ear. Left or right side, whatever. Okay? We have faith that when the men here that are married, when our wives put the food on the table, we have faith that we can actually eat that and still walk. Still not worry about falling on our ear. We have faith that if I ask Blair to do something for me, and he says, "Oh, absolutely, Colin, I'll do that." You know what? I forget about that then, because Blair's going to do it. If Lerlin says, which she said before, if Don's away looking after grandkids or something, Lerlin says, "Well, I'm going to bring you supper over." I don't think, "Oh, man, what am I going to do for supper now?" And worry and stress all day because I don't have supper. Right? Not that if she wasn't there, I wasn't going to eat. But we put faith in things of this world that are just passing things in the day. How many people, well, not the men, of course, how many girls, women who have had children know what it's like to be pregnant? Well, I guess all of you would, right? So, when you became pregnant and you prayed to God that you could have children and you had children and you ended up with a child, there was a process. Now, after the first month, could someone have come and told you, "You're not pregnant. You're not going to have a baby." Then the next month came along and, gee, she might look a little different. The third month came along and, holy smokes, is she getting fat? No. No, she's not getting fat. She's pregnant, isn't she? Fourth month, fifth month, ninth month, the ninth month, and she's 3 days away from having a baby. How many people could have walked up to her and said, "You're not going to have a baby. You're not pregnant"? How many people would be foolish enough to walk up to that person and say, "You're not pregnant. You're not going to have a baby"? And then the day happens, and she had the baby. Lo and behold, she had this baby that she knew all along that she was going to have. She birthed that thing that was in her. That's how faith is. God says that whatever you ask in my name, I'll give it to you. As you delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to give you $1 million. And he might. But the desires that are in your heart, he's the one that's going to put them there. But those desires, because you're living for him, are going to match up with his will for you. So you can ask anything in his name, and it will be given to you. I'm a product myself of faith. If it hadn't been for my faith, if it hadn't been for my wife's faith, if it hadn't been for people in this church's faith, I wouldn't be here today. I would be dead. I had doctors say, and I know some of you have heard this story, but always in my life it bears repeating because it's the reason I'm still here. And when I was laying in a hospital bed, and the doctor, who just happened to be in Vancouver from China, the specialist in that field, told my wife when I went in for surgery that I probably wouldn't make it through the surgery, but if I did, I would be a raging diabetic, and it would be the first of many, many surgeries. Well, that's not the way God works. I believed in my heart that through the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. My wife believed the same thing. You believed the same thing. I had that surgery, and I'm 100%. I'm as healthy as you can possibly be at 40 years old. A little older. But faith is all the time. Faith, when you pray something, it's done. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And that's not hope like you're on the street. Gee, I hope it rains. Or, oh, geez, I hope I don't run into so-and-so today. Or, I hope whatever you might hope for. This is God's hope. This is an expectation. So faith is an expectation. It's a substance of what you're expecting. And if you've prayed to God, to Jesus, for anything, for healing, for, again, whatever it is. We get so into our lives, we don't even think about, well, gee, I should. God should be a part of it all. When we pray something, that thing is done. And you might not see it in 3 months or 4 months or 5 months. Or, as a pregnant woman, you might not see it in 9 months, but you are going to see it because God said so. If God said it, I mean, that's just got to be it. If it's not, if I can look at Blair and ask him to do something for me, or Jeff, anyone in this room, and they say they're going to do it, I 100% believe that they're going to do it. And that's the end of that situation. How much more with our Heavenly Father? How much more? He's the man. I mean, when we ask him for something, it is done. There may be time parameters on it, but that's why he says in his word to add patience to our understanding. In John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That verse has always been something. It's like you're trying to tell someone, again, I'll use Blair. I'll tell Blair, I am the guy to fix your tractor air conditioner. I am the way that works. Okay? And that's the truth. If I tell Blair that, he has full confidence I'm going to come and fix his air conditioner, and that's the way it's going to work. But Jesus is saying, I am the way. For the joy set before him, his joy is what? Me and you. For the joy set before him, he endured going to the cross. He went to the cross willingly, knowing what that was going to entail. And he considered it a joy. I figure he's probably the way. Might even be the truth and the life. I have, like I said, I've lived God, Jesus, being the way, the truth, and my life. He's the only way this is possible. He's the only way a lot of things that we're at, where we're at in our lives, he's the only way we'll get through them. He has the answer. All you have to do is look to him. Yeah, we're big, strong people. We can do anything. And we have to do it because we're the ones living it. But Jesus wants to do it with us. He has an answer. He has a way to do it. He has, you might think, just rush in there, bull forward, just going at it. Jesus might say, well, just wait a little while. I've got this under control. Why don't I look after it? There's a lot of talk about government these days. And this guy this, and this guy that, and oh, this other person this, and that other person that. But you know what? God's not surprised. God was expecting this. God knew that this was going to happen. And it might not be me, and it might not be you. But guess what? God's got someone for a time such as this. He's got people in places that we don't know. People in authority that are going to do what he's called them to do. God has a plan. When Jesus went riding on the donkey, when he sent his disciples in to get the donkey, and he came riding in on coats and wreaths everywhere, where did that donkey come from? That mustn't have surprised him. He must have known what was going to happen. Do you think he knows now? He's got the answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's got your answer. I'm going to play a little thing that I had a friend send me. And this is just a correlation or how God works, if we look at it. We tried to do this morning, get this up there, but me and Wayne weren't cagey enough to get it up there, so.
I was in Alaska doing a lawsuit. We're way out in the Aleutian Islands, getting ready to leave and go back to Anchorage and then home. And I had a ticket in my pocket to get on an airplane. A pastor came up and he said, listen, I can save you money. I said, how's that? He said, I flew a small airplane up here, and I fly a small airplane, and I can take you in my little airplane, and you can save your ticket. And this did not sound, I said, gee, thank you so very, very much, but I've got this ticket. We'll just make our way on home, me and this other lawyer with me. He said, no, you got to do it, you got to do it. And against every better judgment I had, I said, okay. Well, we went out to the airport, took us by his little plane, and I looked at it. And I thought, well, one good thing, it's shiny. Then he walked around it, We got in. He's on the left front. I'm on the right front. The other lawyer's sitting right behind me. And he started it up. And it started up just fine. Well, we taxied out. I said, should we pray? He said, yeah, that's a good idea. We normally don't. I said, well, this time we're gonna. And I'm telling you, I prayed 5-8 minutes. I prayed a long time. We went and got on the runway. He starts down the runway. The plane lifted off ever so gently, and we start climbing. And it's wonderful. Not a problem in the world. We started climbing, and we flew probably 3-4 minutes. And something happened that will never leave my mind. The pilot turned to me, and he said, we're going in the clouds, and I can't fly in clouds. They make me pass out. I said, clouds make you do what? Now, it's been cloudy all day. And we go right up into the clouds, and you can't see anything. And he looks at me, and his eyes roll back in his head. And he starts mumbling, and he passes out. Passed out cold. Now, I grabbed him, and I shook him, and I said, come on, you got to wake up so I can kill you. Now, we're in the clouds, flying along with no pilot. And my friend in the back seat said, we're dead, aren't we? I said, there's a very good chance of that, yes. He said, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. But there was a radio right there, and I handed him the microphone, and I said, start asking for help. So he's in the back seat reaching up, and he said, hello, hello. We didn't know any proper radio etiquette. All we were saying was hello. And somebody answered back, hello, hello. Don't you guys know proper radio etiquette? And I said, give it. I said, tell them, we don't know nothing. Tell them we're in an airplane with a passed out pilot and we don't know how to fly this plane. The guy said, I'm a freighter flying out of Anchorage on the way to Tokyo. And he said, you're telling me you have nobody who can fly that plane with you? I said, tell them that's correct. Now you gotta understand, I am sweating bullets. He said, the first thing I'm gonna do is start circling so I don't lose you. Because I'll fly out of range of your radio and you won't have me anymore. And he said, I'm going to get Anchorage Emergency for you. And Anchorage Emergency will be the people that can maybe help you. Try to save your life. After about 5 minutes, Anchorage came on, said, we understand you have a passed out pilot. And those of you do not know how to fly that plane. We said, that's right. They said, well, the first thing we got to do is find you. And I'll never forget what this man at Anchorage said. He said, my job is to get you home safe. He said, that's my job. But he said, here's the deal. If you want me to get you home safe, you gotta promise me you'll obey my voice. He said, you can't see me, but I can see you. And he said, if you're not gonna obey my voice, you're gonna die. When you can't see anything, you have no idea how disorientated you become. Finally, he said, okay, I found you. Now hear me clear. He said, you're 4 minutes from a mountain. He said, you're gonna crash in that mountain and die. Follow my voice. I never said, I have to follow your voice? Is that reasonable? You see, I understood without his voice, I had nothing. And do you understand? Without God's voice, you have nothing. Nothing. Finally, he got us turned. And he said, I'm freezing all the traffic in the area. He said, it's going to take me an hour and a half to get you to Anchorage, and there's a lot of weather between you and Anchorage. You're in for a rough ride. And he said, I want you to hear me. I don't want you to look at what's going on outside. I don't want you to pay attention to the storm, just my voice. He said, if you start watching the storm, you will die. But I'll take you through it. Now, because they cleared all the traffic, several pilots, those nighttime freighters, those 747s, started talking to us. They said, we're praying for you, men. You're gonna make it. But listen to the voice. That's the key. They said, trust the voice. You realize your head is full of voices, and everybody in this world wants to talk to you, and everybody wants to be the controlling voice. And God says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. I want you to put yourself on the altar and let my voice be your voice. Finally, we went through the worst of the weather, but there was still more. And then the voice came back and it said, now, I'm gonna line you up. He said, I'm gonna bring you in right down the runway. And at the foot of the runway are some lights, and they're in the form of a cross. He said, don't you forget this. The cross is the way home. Finally, he's bringing us down. We still can't see anything. And all he kept saying is, stay with me. My sheep, the Bible says, hear my voice and they follow me. Finally, just a couple hundred feet off the ground, we saw the cross. I landed the plane. In fact, I landed it 7 times. Finally, it all came to a stop, and the minute we stopped, the pilot woke up. The voice said, thanks for listening. I watch them crash and burn all the time because they won't follow my voice. They don't understand I'm the one who can see them even when they can't see me. But they get the voices in their head and they kill themselves. They self-destruct. Thanks for listening to the voice. Then they put us in a motel room at about 4 in the morning. They knock at my door. I open the door and a man was standing there. He said, hello, David. I said, you're the voice. You're the one who got me home. He said, I am. Do you understand one day you're going to stand before him and say, you were the voice. You're the voice that brought me home. If you're not on that altar as a living sacrifice, your head's full of voices. And then we wonder why kids crash and burn. We wonder why marriages are shattered. And the Lord's saying, I'm the one who has the voice. All I can remember is that voice saying, stay with me. Stay with me. Don't listen to what's going on in your head and don't watch the storm. Stay with me. And I'll take you through. Tonight you have a God who has promised to take you through. A living sacrifice, holy.
First time I heard that, I was just crying. He loves us enough that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. He's not going to leave us hanging. But we do have to look at him and we have to listen to him. And he's speaking to us. He's speaking to us all the time. But only if we're looking to him. It's all here. His love, his strength, his power. He is the man. We use that phrase here, and oh, so-and-so's the man. But I mean, there is nobody like him. Even when we don't see him, he sees us, and he knows where we're going, and he knows where he wants us going, and he's going to get us there safely. We're not going to crash and burn. He has the answer. He literally is the way, the truth, and the life. He'll see us through. There's nothing in this world that can come upon us. No storm. The storms will come. They will. The storms will come. The people will come. Things will be said. Things will be done. But that's not the end of it. The end of it is always victory through him. It's never, oh, well, you know, it could have been better, or it could have been worse. It could. No. You win. We win. Period. But only if we're looking at him, looking to him. That story reminded me, obviously, of Peter stepping out of the boat. Jesus walking to him and summons him out, and out he goes, and he takes a couple steps, and what did he do? He did look at the storm. He fretted and started to go down, and Jesus had to grab him. The difference between him and the pilot was the pilot listened all the way. He looked all the way to the middle. He didn't look to the left or the right. He believed the voice. We have to believe the voice. Do we all believe what Jesus said? Or is it just words? I remember as a kid thinking these were all just some pretty cool stories. But this is truth. The whole thing. It's not just stories to make you compare God to other things. This is all true. And when you start to move away from this, when you start to look to the right or the left, then the things of the world start clouding your view, start clouding the picture. And I'm not up here talking like, I'm not up here talking like I spend 100% of my time looking to him. Of course I have faults, very few, but I do have a few. But he is, no doubt, the answer for everything. And we are all human. We're going to make mistakes, but we just got to know that we just got to come back to center. We got to come back to him. Look at him. Listen to him. If he said it, it's true. Find out who you are right here. He sees the beginning. He sees the end. He knows where you're headed. He knows where you've been. I don't know how else to say it. I'm just about done here, but it's short of grabbing you and shaking you and saying, this is the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. What situation in life, for what reason, did you start believing in Jesus? What brought you to him other than Holy Spirit? What brought you to him? What circumstance? Was it loss? Was there an emptiness you just couldn't fill? Circumstances beyond your control? Was it guilt? Was it love? What brought you to him? I'll tell you what brought me. Fear. Because all of a sudden I heard that not everybody's going to heaven. And I thought, what? Well, if not everybody is, probably me for sure isn't going to. And then I started looking. And I read a verse in the Bible. Secretly, of course, because nobody could know that I was reading a Bible. I was might have been thought of as a Bible thumper or something. But John 12 and 43 said, for they loved the praises of men more than the praise of God. And man, that just hit me. I thought, well, literally, that just describes Colin Orr. And I changed it. And it's a long road. It is, but it's a good one. And I can honestly say that I would rather go a lifetime with him than 10 minutes being cool the way I thought I was. And I have found that beyond a shadow of a doubt, if Jesus said it, he meant it. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. And I don't believe that there's anything in this world that if his hand is on it, that it can stay unchanged. If he said by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed, then that's what I gotta believe. And I do believe it. So I think as we finish here, I think if there's anyone that thinks that maybe there's some part of them that isn't being touched, that we should pray about that. I don't see many smiles. This should be a momentous occasion. Everybody's healed, whole, healthy, and well. Amen. Right? And there's some things in life. I mean, and I talk about healing and stuff and backs and I rodeoed, and I always, since I've been done, I would have sore back. And I would do different things and I'd get it lined out. But just a little plug, this, and nobody's asked me to do this, by the way, but I got a pillow. Imagine that, I got a pillow. But I've tried hundreds of pillows to line my neck out and help my back, but I got one. Now it's an expensive one, but I bought it in town here for a lot of money. And I've told many people about it, and it's changed all of them. And if you want to know where I got it or what it's all about, then you can ask me after. But there are things that we have to do, too. We have to live right and eat healthy, and I don't do that all the time. But regardless, there's only one answer, and he's it. So is there anyone here that would like to be prayed for or that needs to be prayed for? Okay. Blair, I'll get you to come up here, please. Now, if there's anyone here that needs prayer for their back or their whatever part of their body it might be, then this brother right here will pray with you. And I'll give you a minute, and then we're going to finish up here with a song. And while you're doing that, I'll play this last song.